Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
It's great to see you all. Good morning. It's actually better for me to be here this morning. We're just back from a week skiing, which woohoo, aren't we fancy? And everything from the ears down is sore. Okay, so this is what they don't tell you. See those lovely families all geared up when you look at them in the catalogs and stuff like that? That's a lie, all right? Basically, if you want the experience of skiing, just strip off on a really cold night and stand outside till you're freezing. Then have somebody beat you with sticks all over, all right? And fall over every sort of 2 or 3 minutes hard on the ground, and you'll be fine, okay? And you'll save yourself all that money. And that's it. Was brilliant. I actually did enjoy it, but I every bit of me aches. Every bit of me is sore. Every bit of me is crying out for a sweet release of healing in Jesus' name. I've been taking communion like constantly, but it was good fun. Phil and Heather are proper skiers, and let's just say he didn't tell me his little secret, which is loads of tablets to kill the pain and go to the gym. He didn't tell me that. So I didn't do any of those things, and I'm struggling today. But it's fun. Do you know what's really frustrating about skiing, though? It's that thing I want to talk into today, because I had a couple of moments actually where the Lord really spoke to me. Partly because I was crying out, Jesus, help! All right, it's amazing, particularly for a fat guy who's kind of close to the ground, right? How quickly you go. It is unbelievable. You think, you know, all of you, has anyone skied in here? Okay, so the rest of you doubters going like, it's dead easy. It's really not. As soon as you put your skis together, you just take off and there's nothing you can do to stop other than fall. And that's how I figured it out anyway, just fall in a big ball. And it's funny because I had to take Sophie up because she's only little, right, on the things, on the slopes. They call them baby slopes. Lies, all right? It's like that there. And so I'm taking Sophie up like this. And you have to get off at some point, or you can go to the top bit, which is flat, but she was a wee bit scared at the start. So it's like, Sophie, turn to the right. So lift your skis and go like this. She doesn't know her left from her right. Okay, so, well, she says she does, but, and she talks the whole way, and she doesn't listen to Daddy. And we end up going, I turn my skis that way, her skis are still going straight. We end up in a ball and just sliding the whole way back down the ski thing with these random people just kind of hopping over us or skiing around us. And then you think, well, just get up. You're probably thinking, why didn't you just stand up? Try it, all right? All I'm going to say is, all you smart people, just try it, and then you'll see, all right? But it's interesting for me that so I have all these moments, all these like, kind of genuine spiritual moments going, isn't it amazing? Was that me? Did I just hear that, right? I had this moment of going, there is a big gap, right? And one of the things, particularly as a man, which you have to be, you just get over your own pride, really, is that kids are brilliant at this, right? So you're standing there and they're flipping whizzing past you, absolutely flying past you. And I'm going, there's a big gap between what I imagine this is going to be like and what it's actually like. Do you get me? Because in my head before I went skiing, it was going to look like, you know, like I'd be like Eddie the Eagle, all right? Just kind of soaring through or whatever, the Irish Eddie the Eagle. And flip me. And it wasn't. It was really flipping hard. It's hard work. So after a couple of days, we paid for a lesson. There was this woman called Marguerite. A Slovakian lady who was teaching us. Oh, just imagine, she earned her money. 5 of us never skied before, standing in a line, I guess. And she just looked at us and went, so who skied before? No one. Really? At this point, Sophie's way down the slope. Ben's not listening. I'm falling over. And Penny's shouting at all of us. And that woman, the sweat started to appear. I'm thinking, this is not what I quite imagined. Right? This is not what I quite imagined. The other thing is this, for those of you who have kids, right? I'm going to pull this together. Don't worry. I'm not just rambling. I've got a point somewhere in there. No, I am just rambling. I'm just getting it all out of my system, okay? But we've just spent a week together as a family, all right? Everyone goes, isn't that awesome? All right? But, you know, I love my family. Isn't it really good to spend time with them all in an apartment for 7 days? But, you know, like even in, when you can be in the most beautiful of surroundings, because the place where we were was stunningly beautiful. I mean, it's just this massive expanse of mountains and snow and all this sort of stuff, right? And your kids are arguing over who got more chips than the other one. Do you know what I mean? Do you get that? And as a dad, I'm finding it really hard not to be really frustrated, to go, for goodness sake, would you just look around you and appreciate what you've got?
And they're going, she got more chips than me. She got more chips than me. I don't want that. She got this. And
do you know what I mean? And you're thinking you're completely missing the point. Or is that just my kids? Oh, please, somebody throw me a bone. No, when we go away on a family holiday, it's like the Waltons. We all skip around saying, they get up every morning singing me a song that they penned the night before, just telling me, Daddy, how much we love you for bringing us here, right? Is that what it's like in your family? It's not like that in ours, right? I mean, don't get me wrong, that for 80% of the time it's really good. Now there's that 20% of the time you want to kill them because you're going, seriously? Like this is, you know, and then I find myself getting really worked up and going, can you not just look around? You are in the middle of the most beautiful mountains skiing, all right? Well, falling over and hurting yourself, but you know, you'll get better. But your attention's on the wrong thing and you're looking at the wrong thing, all right? You've missed the big expanse because you're focused on entirely the wrong thing. And I want to talk about that because I actually had a moment of going up and down many times this week where I felt the Lord say, because the Lord's been speaking. Now, listen to me very carefully. I will say this only once. The Lord has been speaking to us since the start of January about blessing and about favor and about your expectation, because surely that is the gospel. Isn't that right? And actually, in the big narrative around the world, the Lord said that this year was a year of latter rain. It was a year where you would have absolute confidence and trust, right? That God is pouring out blessing, all right? Now, I want to ask you, though, what was the response of your heart over these last few weeks whenever you heard that? I'll let it sit. Was it, I hope so? Was it, because remember the Lord said at the very first week of January, let go of your disappointment. Let go of the things that have been holding you back because I want to pour out, right? Or what was your response and what has been your response? Are you still going through 2019 kind of fingers crossed hoping? Or are you actually looking and going, I tell you what, I actually am prepared for God's blessing in my life. Which one is it? Because I had this moment of standing on the top of this mountain and going, Lord, actually, even in me, some of my heart is still, I would like to think that. All right? Looking at this big, vast expanse, I had this view of God's blessing going, it's wide, it's big, it's beautiful, it's refreshing, all of those things. But still something in me focusing on other things, right? And the Lord going, there's something still that you need to prepare your heart for in order to receive. Does that make sense? The reason why I'm asking you what was your response is because it can be either, you know, fingers crossed, I hope that applies to me, or it can be the other side, thank you, Jesus, I receive. And the Lord really started to talk to me about how thankful am I? Because as much as I got frustrated with my kids, what I saw straight away was a mirror reflection of me. And I had this arresting moment, actually, as where my frustration with them dropped a little bit because I thought they're just kids. But actually, you know, as grown-ups, we're no different. There's so many times, even when the Lord in the big context is pointing us, and actually all of us now have things to be grateful and thankful for, and pointing us to the big picture, if you like, and we are still focused on the little things and getting frustrated, totally missing the point. And the Lord said to me, Andrew, your problem is it's about your ability to be thankful for where you're at now. And so whenever you hear about latter rain and ever you hear about God's favor and God's blessing in your life, is it, I hope, or yes, Jesus, thank you that that is mine? Because that will be a huge difference in your ability to receive. Does that make sense to you? And so, you know, and do you know what? As grown-ups, we think we're better than this, but we're not. Because it's part of our flesh. Sometimes we need to stop for a little bit and go, Lord, how thankful and how really grateful am I? Because when we focus on our problems and our circumstances, that's where we're going to stay. Now, you may have become a little bit staid, and this is not a church thing, it's a life thing, all right? But I honestly believe that one of the ways that we are going to receive and you're going to receive in your life is having a heart and a posture of thankfulness. And I really felt the Lord speak to me for this Sunday because I wasn't going to preach on this Sunday. But honestly, I had a moment of going, and you need to listen to me because there's breakthrough in this for you. There is breakthrough in this for you to go, how thankful are you? For all the grace that's been given into your life, how thankful are you? Or are you just hanging on, hoping that someday your ship is going to come in? And it's a really tricky one, because sometimes everything in us, we root ourselves in what we can see physically and touch physically. But the Lord is promising. Remember, promise pro materi always speaks to the future. The problem with the future is you haven't seen it yet. But he says you have to walk and believe like it is as real as it is, as it will be, as it is right now. Does that make sense? Even my jaw is sore, so I'm struggling to speak this morning, all right? When I say literally everything below my ears is sore, you should be walking in my body this morning. I am going to wolf communion down later on, all right? You might be in a time of conflict or a time of trial, all right? And this is when we should be thankful the most. We do a lot of talking, don't we? Where it came from, right? I just thought we need to be really careful, church, that we don't miss the big picture here and say, yes, fingers crossed, maybe that will get for me. But yet our language and the way that we talk and the way that we approach is not lining up with what Jesus is saying he wants to do. That's what I felt. Does that make sense? Or no? And so I want to use a story this morning to help you with it, because there's a guy in the Bible, right? And I was thinking about him this week. And I want to encourage you, if you're in an impossible situation or if you're in a very difficult situation this morning, then this guy's story will really speak to you. He's called Jehoshaphat, right? And I'm going to skip through the story. I'm not going to read it all for you, but I'm going to skip through bits of the story, because here was a guy who was promised great things by God, all right? He's a young guy. He's the great-great-great-grandson of King David, for those of you who want to know. And his enemies are called the Moabites and the Ammonites there, you know, descendants of Lot, the whole stuff that went on there, incest and all the rest of it. And what they did is they form a confederacy, an alliance to come against Israel. And they're described like locusts, all right? I'm going to get to the locust talk. They're described like locusts, but what they would come in and strip the land. So all the hard work that would be put in, the enemies would come and completely strip. And this is what Jehoshaphat is facing. So it's in 2 Chronicles 20, if you want to read with me. Now, this shows you whenever God promises you grace, because I really want to see breakthrough in your life. I want to see breakthrough in this church. I want to see us really fulfill the mission of grace in Northern Ireland and beyond. I want to see more people healed. I want to see more people delivered. I want to see more marriages restored. I want to see more deep down joy. I want to see sectarianism overturned and racism. I want to see, you know what? I want to see people who stand up against things like abortion in this country, the darkness that comes here, and we show a different light. Do you get that? We show that God's people are not po-faced, religious, hard, belligerent. It's not what we stand against, it's who we stand for. Do you get that? That's why the gospel of grace matters and this church matters. That's what we want to be known for. But let's look at Jehoshaphat. If you open up 2 Chronicles 20, I'm going to skip through some of the verses. So this guy's a young guy, right? But I want you to be encouraged. And this is why thankfulness matters to you. Because in a time of latter rain, if you're focused where the rain is not falling, right, you're going to miss it. I really felt it this week. It is possible to be in the most incredible of circumstances and completely miss the joy of it. Do you get that? So let's look at this guy, because he does it differently. So he's a young king and he's facing a real problem. The Moabites and the Ammonites, like I've said, have gathered against him, and it's not looking good. It's a big challenge. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. It says, he was afraid. So here's this young guy. Now, Jehoshaphat's a godly guy. He's a godly king. And it says here, he was afraid. Now, what do you do? Because when I was thinking this week, I felt the Lord say to me, there are people in here, and when we talk about latter rain, and when we talk about the blessing and the favor of God, and you believing that what your life looks like right now, it doesn't have to stay that way. It can be different. Your family can be different. Your kids can be different. Your mental condition can be different. Your physical condition can be different. Your husband can be different. Oh, there's a stretch for some of you, right? Your wives, even way more of a stretch or whatever. Children, don't even go there, Jesus. You need to appear yourself, okay? But here's the point. All right? What do you do whenever you're afraid? Whenever you face something and you go, uh-oh, and you might not go, uh-oh, because what the Lord said, okay, to this guy was, whenever bad news comes and you're in a difficult situation, what most of us do is not what he did. In verse 3, it says, he was afraid, and his immediate response in fear is he turned his face to seek the Lord. So we have these things coming up just to help people back there, okay? He set his face to seek the Lord, and he gathered like-minded people, all right? So what he does is he gets together in the temple, the church, this is really interesting for me. They're going to be speaking about the church in the next few weeks, all right? And he gathered around like-minded people. His first call was God. Not away from God and finding solace in people. That's not what he did. But he turned to God and gathered with like-minded people. Now listen, not just to complain and to moan, but God understands where we're at. But this wasn't about a pity party, all right? But we see through verses 5 to 12 here, in the face of his fear, in the face of a situation that he knows he cannot win on his own or change, right? His response was incredible. His response was he started to give thanks. Now, some of you might need to do this a little bit through gritted teeth. Remember, I said a few weeks ago that the power of your words is actually not just that you speak them, it's but whenever the Lord shows you in your heart and reveals grace to you and paints a picture of faith for you as to what it could look like. Remember, I really encourage you, look through grace, look through that open window of heaven and see yourself and see the situation on the other side. Remember that? Yeah? What does it look like to be really perfectly whole? What does it look like at your stage to be really healthy? What does it look like at your stage to be really joyful? What does it look like to be really blessed? Look through grace, because the window is open. You can see what heaven is like. Heaven is now for us. We believe that. That's what the gospel is about. Amen. Look through that, and what do you see? All right? And then let your words back that up. But the next stage on top of that is when you see it, give thanks for it. Because you know the word that is used in the New Testament for thanks? Is a word called eucharisteo. Jesus uses it before he breaks bread, and it means your grace works well. Do you know that? So we think, you know, we say to our kids, just be thankful, and they're not thankful at all. Half the time they're like, thank you. You know what I mean? I mean, they're deep down, they are. But do you know what I mean? When we try to force thankfulness, and we say, just say thanks, thanks, thank you. You know what I mean? Sometimes we just say it, and it kind of rolls off the tongue. But actually, thanks, but giving thanks in the Bible is a declaration of grace. Did you know that? Every time you say, thank you, Jesus, when it comes to your mind, you say, thank you, Jesus. The word, you can actually say, sometimes I say, eucharisteo, because I'm a wee bit odd, all right? But I declare, eucharisteo, your grace works well. When I am faced with something which I cannot change, when I am faced with something which seems impossible, and sometimes it's not our situation on the outside, it's on the inside. Lord, this is a season of grace. I don't think so. This is a season of blessing. Uh-oh, I don't know. I'm afraid that you're going to pass me by. I'm afraid that I'm going to miss it. I'm afraid that it's just going to be words. You know, all that kind of fear. Not just fear on the outside. Yeah, I'm afraid that someone else will get healed, but not me. I'm afraid that somebody else will be blessed, but not me. That kind of fear, what do? He gave thanks. And that declaration of your grace works well. It's a bit like saying the name of Jesus and declaring the name of Jesus. You can declare the grace of God over your life, even though you don't know how it will work out. My question to you, though, is do you do what this guy did? Do you do what Jehoshaphat does? As the enemies come towards him and it's impossible, he didn't find solace in people and like-minded people who just moaned and complained and were the same as the world. He turned his face to God. And he started something incredible. Let's have a, does that make sense? Let me go very quickly. In verse 6, right? Verses 5 to 12, look at what he does. In verse 6 and 7, he says, you rule over the kingdoms of all the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Verse 7, did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? So isn't this interesting? Look what he does, okay? He reminds himself, what do you do whenever you're facing your fear? Whenever you're facing, what does grace look like for you? What does it look like through that open window for you? Because the very thing that he is threatened by is the thing that he turns his face to God and says, hey, Jesus, God, okay, are you not the one who drove out the inhabitants? You get that? It's like if you fear sickness or you are sick, turn your face to God and declare what he has done for sickness. Look through grace and go, what does that mean for me? If you're afraid for your children, can you turn your face to the Lord and say, Lord, under the shadow of your wings, me and my house, we are safe and secure. Do you get that? The very thing that seeks to come and bow over you is the very thing when you turn your face to God. If you turn your face to it, you'll be overcome. If you turn your face to God and you start to declare who he is, you get me? Let's see what goes on. He reminds himself who God is and he declares his previous victories. That's the thing. Every single one of you right now has been provided for. okay? Every single one in this room, because I can see it in you. Most of you are well fed. Most of you are well turned out. Most of you can say today, thank you, Jesus, that I, up until this point in my life, you have provided for me. So whenever fear comes for tomorrow, what do you do? Do you focus on the fear or do you say, thank you, Jesus, that you have delivered me, you have given me provision, you have looked after me. And so I say, your grace works well in that very area that I think is going to overcome me. That is a posture and a heart of thankfulness. That is a declaration of grace over everything that would seek to take your eyes off the Lord. Do you get that? And let's see what else he does. He says that in verse 9, he says, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and you will save. All right? So before you get to doing anything, make a declaration over you and your home, okay? Because what it does is it builds faith for you to receive. Do you get that? Giving thanks is a vehicle that opens up your heart to receive because it declares grace over every situation. Do you get up in the morning and worry yourself sick? Do you get up in the morning and mutter to yourself and talk to yourself about what's wrong? Where is your heart? Where is your view? And where is your attention? Is it on Jesus and his grace? Are you turned towards him and what he has done? And then do you start to say, thank you for what I see on the other side? Do you get that? Some of us hear, I'll tell you where I'm coming from. Some of us hear grace and we hear the potential of the message of grace. And when we don't see it, it's almost like we live a little bit like this. And it takes boldness to actually go, I'm going to say your grace works well. You might have to look a wee bit foolish for a while. That's okay. I had to do that. We had to declare for years that we were fruitful when we had no children. When religion came against us and said, you can't believe for kids. How's it working out for you? Okay? See this message of God's fullness? He doesn't want you well. Suck it up. He gives and he takes away. And Penny and I looked like Egypt. It cost us everything, actually. But we knew and we would give thanks. And actually, do you know what's interesting? I'll come to that, actually. If I don't, somebody go, you were meant to say something, okay? But what was really interesting for us is we stood for years and years when everybody pointed the finger and it cost us friendships, relationships, in every other way. But I knew that I knew that I knew. Okay? Every time I looked at Jesus, every time I looked at Jesus, I saw a healer. Do you get that? Every time I looked at opinion, I was every other way. I was afraid. I didn't know what was going on. I turned to Jesus. What do I see? Healer. Turn to the people, 100 different opinions. Healer, 100 opinions. Don't know whether I'm stuffed or minded, but every time I went here, I couldn't get away from who he was and what he had done for me.
Yeah.
Then the next stage of that was seeing that in our hearts. So I used to imagine having our kids and then going, right, what's it like on the other side? Thank you. And around us then, people, only one person, all it took was one person to come alongside us. And I remember this woman bringing flowers to Penny on Mother's Day and said, I'm just really thankful that you're a great mum. And I believe that you're going to be a great mum. Okay, her name is Jen Nord. Nobody else. Nobody else. In a church of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Okay, one brave lady who saw Jesus as healer and had the ability to say, thank you that I see it over their lives. And we're so grateful for her faith that was mixed with ours. What are you, is it one thing to hold in your heart what you want the Lord to do? That's another thing to be really thankful and actually declare your grace works well. I found myself this week lots of times saying, thank you, Jesus, for personal stuff, okay? Thank you, Jesus. When I look through grace, this is what I see. I just see such perfection. So thank you that that is mine. Thank you that I, do you know what it sounds like for me? Thank you that I am not excluded. Thank you that those promises are mine. Thank you that everything I see over my family, every day, joking or not, Penny and I, are, you know, even we do pray in the morning with each other. And I prayed every morning, Jesus, I thank you that we are safe and protected today. All right? Because there's something in the heart of a dad when Sophie finally got her skiing legs. right? We'd go to the top bit of this run. So that it was like that steep. Wasn't really quite like that. And she would get to the top and we'd get off quite easily now. And she'd go, right, daddy, race you. Woof, away she went. No fear. Kids don't have any fear. They don't care about breaking stuff. They're so low to the ground. She was like a bullet. You know, two wee legs like that. Woof, away she went. And I was like, then obviously I panic going, I need to get after her. So I'm like this. And I tell you, listen, it doesn't take very long to gather momentum. All right? And so I was like, oh, sweet Lord above. This is because, look, there's just no way of stopping. The only way of stopping is falling over and breaking things. Okay, I'm going to tell you to do that. It doesn't matter. I just had to dislocate my hips. All right? They tell you to point in and do like a snowplow thing. The first day, the instructor was shouting at me, move your hips. And I went, they're dislocated, you stupid woman. What are you talking about? I can't move any more than that. I said to Phil, why is that? He just went, you're just not very strong. Thanks very much. I'm feeling it right now. But what's really... But honestly, we prayed every morning. Prayed every morning, Jesus, you know what? Thank you that me and mine are right under the shadow of your wings today. When I looked through grace, and you might think this is really stupid, but you know what? Try it. When I looked through the window of grace into my holiday, all right? Ben went off for a day with Bella. Mark and Hannah, Donnelly were with us, and to ski on something really steep. And I was like, flip me, because he wasn't great at stopping, let's just say that. But he learned, and he's laughing. But we prayed every day under the shadow of your wings. When I look through grace, all right, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to see just absolute, you know, the family having a great time. And that's funny, because coming back through the airport yesterday, I saw a couple of people with, you know, legs and plaster and their salopettes still on, thinking that wasn't us. Should have been us, because there was a few moments where it was very close, okay? But I and the ski became one, right? And I was the ski. But your name is on this house. We will stand before this house. He's talking about the temple. But for me, you can talk about the church, you can talk about your own house. And I give thanks for what it looks like, my house looks like through the lens of grace, is what he says. And then he goes on to say this, it builds faith, okay? He declares, you know, he says then, oh, sorry, in verse 7, you will hear, doesn't he? Verse 9, sorry. You will hear and you will save. He declares, God, if you've done it before, you'll do it again. And based on what you've done before, I'm going to declare it. If you said you'll heal, then you will. If you said you'd deliver, then you will. Let's go on to verse 12. For we are powerless against this great horde, Jehoshaphat says, that is coming against us. And we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Now, this is really interesting for me. But giving thanks, right, even when you don't know what to do or you don't feel it, okay, will still result in breakthrough. I believe that. Because it's a posture. Whenever you give thanks, your posture is, I'm Jesus-focused. I'm Jesus-centered. I'm not centered on myself. See, people who are centered on themselves, they're the most miserable people to be around, aren't they? Oh, me, I'm always living offended and this, that, and the other, and they don't do this, and they don't do that. It's like, get your eyes off yourself and get them onto Jesus, will you? Honestly. That's my babbling. For we're powerless against this great horde. It's not super faith. Can I just say, sometimes in super faith, people are not afraid to actually say what's going on. Here's what I believe about that. I believe, no, if you say, oh, say something out of your mouth, then just be very careful because, you know, I'll murder you. And then you're powerless and you murder, you know what I mean? Let's not be so cookie about this, all right? Sometimes it's okay to stand before the Lord and just to be honest with him. But to say in that place of honesty, your grace works well. I may feel like I'm here, but here is not where I'm staying. The Lord can deal with your lack of faith. You hear that? He doesn't punish you or not bless you because you feel weak at times. But every time you feel weak, he says, give thanks that he is stronger for you. Give thanks in the very area that you're pressed in. Just say, I give you thanks that this is what it looks like through grace. Right? Because this is what Jehoshaphat does. You know, can I just say very quickly? Do you know why it's so important that we do this for each other? Because look what happens around as we keep going down. I just thought on my holiday, I want to be around thankful people. One of the things that will mark this church out is we're thankful for where we're at. We have an eye on where we want to be, but we're thankful for where we're at. Do you get that? I think some of you tomorrow need to be really thankful for where you're at. When you wake up on a Monday, okay, say thank you for your grace. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your healing. Thank you that this is another day that I've been raised to live. that I've got family around me, that I've got friendship around me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because it kicks open the door to rain to fall on your life, all right? Kicks open the door. And what's really interesting, when you're around that, this is why it matters for the church. I don't really like negative, cynical attitudes and behaviors, to be quite honest. But watch, there's this young guy called Jahaziel who's standing in the assembly. He's a prophet, he's a Levite, okay? And in the atmosphere of faith and belief, all right? When, let me tell you something, whenever, whatever situation you're in, the Lord's called you to lead in it, right? To point people to Jesus, to increase your circle, and to point people towards the Lord. Not to get down to their level and to complain, right? That doesn't help people. See that they're. It might buy you 5 minutes peace now, but you're not helping people, right? Get them to lift their eyes up to the Lord. Now, what happens whenever you do that? Well, young Jahaziel here, right? In this atmosphere of faith, he starts to prophesy. What it does is whenever you're thankful, it allows God to bring more encouragement. Thus says the Lord to you in verse 15, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours. This is the famous bit of 2 Chronicles 20. The battle is God's. Do you know what he does? Do you know what grace does here? Whenever you're thankful, you're going to find people spring up all around you, all right? And they will prophesy grace over you. Do you get that? Grace comes and favor comes in an atmosphere of thankfulness. Because Jahaziel is sitting and he's looking at his king who's got his face towards the Lord. If you are surrounding yourself or struggling because you go, where's the encouragement? Do you know what? Start to give thanks for what you have and where you're at and where the Lord's bringing you to. Do you know why? Do you know what's going to happen? You're going to find people just pop up and start to prophesy grace over you. That's exactly what's going to happen. This is what happens here. He says, he prophesies grace and unmerited favor. He reminds them of what the Holy Spirit reminds you of every day. He says, this is God's work. Honestly, listen to what the king is saying, because the Lord is speaking to me. He's a Levite. He's recognized as a prophet before the people. And the prophet before the people goes, you won't have to fight this day. The Lord's got it for you. Do you know why this church matters? Church matters today because when people come in here into an atmosphere of thankfulness and Jesus-centeredness and grace, what will happen is that they will find encouragement from places that they never found it before, where people prophesy unmerited favor over them and remind them, just like the Holy Spirit reminds you every day, it's not your battle, it's his battle anyway. But where did it come from? It came from one man saying, I will not put my attention somewhere else, but I will be thankful that he has delivered me so far. So the question really is, what are you focused on? What are you focused on? What are you magnifying? I was going to talk a little bit about how your life goes the way of your dominant thoughts, but I just want to move on. Then the word comes. I love this. Verse 17. You will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord your God on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. This almost feels like it's too good to be true, but I felt it was a word for some people today. All right? I felt it was a word for some people today where there's a situation that's difficult and impossible, and most of those things are on the inside. I'll say it again. I want the latter rain blessing, but I feel like you're going to pass me by. Okay? What happens in an atmosphere of thankfulness is grace comes to remind you that Jesus says, don't work any harder. In fact, just rest and let me deliver you. Let me speak it over you. This week, you're not going to have to work harder. The Lord will win the battle for you. All right? Let me say it again. You're not going to have to sweat over your kids. The Lord has won the battle for them. You're not going to have to sweat about your health. Why? When grace comes in thankfulness, the battle is his. So healing is yours, and you're not going to have to fight for it. Okay? Favor is yours because that's his battle. Doors are going to open for you because that's his battle. Okay? Situations are going to change for you because that's his battle. You're going to find yourself in places where you never thought you would be. Why? Because that's his battle. You're going to find yourself with new relationships and new inroads. Why? Because that's his battle. You don't need to fight anymore. When grace comes, he reminds you that it's his battle. And he asks you to stand. I love this last bit. It says in verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of it, Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Okay? So what did they do? All right? Let me just make this really careful, really clear for you. Every blessing that the Lord has been speaking is yours. And this is a time where the Lord says, you go for it, you ask for it, you believe for it, because it's yours. All right? Let go of the past and the disappointment. Look through grace. Go to the other side of grace. Look through that open window, and what do you see? Let your heart align with that and then start to speak it. And then give thanks even though you haven't yet seen it. You get that? In that moment, so Lord, thank you that my mind is clear. Thank you that, you know, whatever it is. Thank you that I'm not depressed. Thank you, Jesus, that my mind is absolutely 100%. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm not unworthy. Thank you, whatever it is, go right through. And then stand and see the Lord move for you. And what they did in the gap here was Jehoshaphat bowed his head, it said in verse 18, and they fell down to worship the Lord. Okay? The Moabites and the Ammonites are still standing there, ready to wipe them out. Now, I don't know what your challenge is, but probably you don't have people with spears and swords ready to kill you tomorrow morning. Might feel like that. But Jehoshaphat's a young king, great, great, great grandson of King David. And these people are going to wipe Israel out. You know, they didn't mess about with them. We tickle stick. They actually cut people to pieces, right? And to cut to the end of the story, right? In verse 20 and 21, give thanks to the Lord for steadfast love endures forever, okay? And when they began to sing, it says in verse 22, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, the Ammonites, Moab, and Mount Seir, right? Now, as they gave thanks, kept their eyes on Jesus, the very enemies that came against them turned on themselves and destroyed themselves as they stood before the Lord with thankfulness. Isn't that amazing? Cut to the end of the story. What was the good bit? The good bit was the Lord delivered them and they never lifted a hand. Can I just say to you this week, you don't need to prove yourself to anyone. You don't need to fight for yourself and your reputation. You don't need to come against people and manipulate and coerce and figure it out for yourself. You don't need to do any of that. You don't need to do anything other than keep your eyes on Jesus and give him thanks. Declare grace over every situation and it will work well for you. What's really interesting for me was the Lord had already planned the ambush. The Lord had already gone before them and worked it all out. But it was their posture before the Lord which opened the doors to that. Get your thanks on this week is what I'm trying to say. Thankfulness is not about going, thank you, God, right? I feel like my heart's a million miles away from this, but I'm going to say thank you anyway, like it's some kind of incantation or something that you just say, because it's not about that. It's about aligning your heart with what it looks like on the other side of grace. I just have this picture of whatever situation you're looking at, stop for one moment. Get your eyes off it, go to the other side of it and go, when I put that through grace, unmerited favor, what does it look like? How does it turn out? Do you get that? What does my husband look like with unmerited favor on his life? What does my body look like with unmerited favor and grace on his? What does my family look like? What does my job look like? What does my mental health look like? Okay? Get that picture. And then let your words be, thank you, Jesus. And I promise you this, you will be confounded. Your enemies will be confounded and you will be amazed. Honestly. That's preparing your heart for latter rain. I mean, most of us would say thank you after the event, isn't that right? Most would say, Jesus, your grace is amazing when it's all worked out. It takes real faith to stand and say, you've promised it, I'm all in. Thank you, thank you, thank you.